Adam Lepp reporting for The Talking Place.
Good afternoon. This is Pastor Craig, and this is Study His Word. And we're going to be joined in a few minutes on the phone. Our representative here in the Marion area and down through over to Marysville is, of course, Tracy Richardson. She's our representative to the Ohio House. And she was kind enough to agree to an interview today. So, again, I say she'll be calling in a few minutes. In the meantime, I do want to let you know that any of these shows, again, you can find them on the station's website, www.gh1071.com, and go to the archive page. Also, too, I do have a podcast. I put up a new episode every Wednesday, and you can find my podcast at www.studyhiswordradio.org. Again, that's studyhisradio.org. And you'll find Bible study there, interviews there, and that type of thing. So encourage you to check it out. Also, you can contact me at any time about anything. You can contact me regarding this show, my other show, The Exchange Club. You can contact me, comments, questions about my podcast, and you can contact me with questions. If you have a Bible question, anything along that lines, you're more than welcome to contact me. I do read and answer my emails, and my email is studyhiswordministries@yahoo.com. Again, that's studyhiswordministries@yahoo.com. So that's how you get a hold of me. And like I say, I do read the emails and I will answer them. And while I've got a couple of minutes here, I would just like to thank all of you who do listen. I really appreciate it. And it's really kind of funny because when you're doing local radio and you do live local radio, and then when you're out in the community, it's encouraging, and yet at the same time, it's kind of surprising when, you know, somebody that I've never met before, you know, will come up to you and say, hey, I listen to you, or they'll say, hey, I really like what you're doing, or whatever. It's encouraging to know that you do listen, and it is encouraging because I've had my messages on radio stations all over the country. I've been in Pensacola, Florida. I've been down in Columbus, Ohio. I've been out in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania with my messages played on FM radio. You know, if you turn to a Christian radio station and, you know, you can hear Charles Stanley and you can hear David Jeremiah and you can hear John MacArthur, they typically have slots reserved for either local churches or local pastors or regional, that you can buy that radio time and then have your message, and your message is sandwiched in between, you know, nationally known preachers. And I've had years where I have done that. But the thing about that is, on national radio, when your program is carried throughout the country, you never hear from your listeners. I was talking one time with one of the national pastors or nationally known pastors, and he was commenting. He said, you know, don't be discouraged that you never hear from anybody. And in this industry, you know, 0.00001% of your listeners you'll hear from. Otherwise you're just never going to hear people. So I say that to say it really was actually kind of surprising to me when once I joined the station here and started, you know, actually running into people that listened and hearing from people that listened. It was really kind of encouraging. So don't ever hesitate to send me an email if you feel like you want to comment on something. You can even, boy, my phone is going crazy today. You can even email me if you have comments about anything I've said on the Exchange Club. I know that I can be rather opinionated, but that's what the Exchange Club is all about. That's why we do what we do. That's why we are on there and we talk about the topics that we do, because we want to share our opinions. And I'm sure that I probably say some things that a lot of people don't agree with, but that's okay. You're entitled to yours. I'm entitled to mine. But I would also appreciate hearing from you and your thoughts and your comments. So again, feel free anytime. You can email me, and again, it's studyhiswordministries@yahoo.com. So that takes care of all of that. It's going to be cold next week, so I would encourage you to be thinking about your pets and the extra cold temperatures. I would encourage you to be aware of your neighbors during this cold weather, and I would ask that you just kind of be aware about some senior citizens, particularly senior citizens who live by themselves. The last thing we want to happen in this community is, you know, the story about the 80-year-old person that lived by themselves and nobody saw them or heard from them for 5 days, and then they find out that that person had passed away 4 days ago. Just kind of be conscious and aware of the people around you, and if you see any change in their behavior, find it out. Check it out. That's the good kind of nosy neighbor. We all know about nosy neighbors and that type of thing, but that's the kind of good nosy neighbor, just kind of keeping an eye out for the neighbors. The other thing I wanted to say was, it's about time we got those cold temperatures. I mean, here we are, we're fast approaching the middle of January, and we've had hardly any snow to speak of. We haven't had any days where we've had, you know, sustained temperatures below freezing. It just really hasn't happened. So it's about time we got. Now I hate the cold weather, but it's about time that we get some cold weather. So anyway, do your best to stay warm next week and keep an eye out for the neighbors. Keep an eye on your pets. And, you know, we do this every year, so we'll get through the cold. I know that we've got some sub-zero temperatures coming up. And so it's just going to be cold, but just dress appropriately. And we'll go on from there. All right, looks like I have a call coming in, so we'll take it here. And I want to welcome to the line Tracy Richardson. Tracy, as you know, is our representative to the Ohio House of Representatives. We do live in the 86th District, and she is our representative. So, Tracy, welcome to the show.
Hi, Pastor Craig. I am so delighted to be able to speak with you today. I know I've run into you and Marion, and we've talked about how much I love the Lord and how I want the Lord to be the focal point of the work and the service that I do on behalf of the good people who trust me to do it in Marion and Union counties in the state of Ohio. So I'm truly, truly excited to be able to talk to you today about my love for the Lord.
Well, again, I thank you for calling in, because that, you know, as I told you that, you know, this 1 o'clock hour, I have different people that come on and share their ministries that they have or other things that they have. But the focus is the Lord. So having said that, I'm just going to let you run with it. Tell us about first, because this is obviously the most important thing, but tell us about your journey of faith. How did you come to have faith in the Lord?
Before I answer that question, and I'm so looking forward to talking to you about it, I was just wondering, Pastor, could we just pray? I begin everything with prayer.
Absolutely.
And since I know that I'm talking to a pastor, I would just love to be able to just lead with the Holy Spirit. So I'll go ahead and start, and maybe you want to kind of help me, but I would just pause right now, and I do this quite frequently in the day, to just lift my heart and my voice and my mind to Jesus and ask him, dear Jesus, send your Holy Spirit, that all that I say and that we communicate about today would be of you, that it would be pure and as you will. And we praise you, Father. We praise you for every grace and blessing. And we ask this in your most holy will and name, Jesus.
Amen. And that was, thank you for doing that, because I'll be honest with you, I start every radio broadcast off the air with a prayer. But I think it's especially good to start this off on the open mic with prayer. So again, I thank you. So now I'm going to let you run with it.
Okay. I have truly been someone who loves the Lord since I can remember. And my parents always took us to church, and they taught us that our way of life is the way of a Christian. And they taught me to be kind, respectful, and to seek to understand. They taught me so that I could live the rest of my life loving the Lord and getting to heaven. And so I thank my parents for that fundamental understanding that God is real, that Jesus is with us, that Jesus is alive. And so when it came to my high school years, I had a very powerful experience. I traveled to India, and I traveled with a singing group. I actually sing. I love to sing. That's another thing I did when I was younger. I sang in church. I sang from the age of like 9 years old in my church. Anyway, I was part of a group of young people that traveled to Calcutta, and I met Mother Teresa. And I was 16 years old. And I saw the struggles of the poor. And I saw the love of Mother Teresa. And I worked with her, and I helped her in her home for dying and destitute. And I realized my mission and my calling in life was to love. Was to love and to be loved. And as a 16-year-old child, to see and experience the beauty of loving the poorest of the poor and those who are dying and lifting them up to the Lord was very, very powerful. Because what it made me realize is that my life is not about me. It's about my destiny to serve God, please God, and to be with him forever. And to be him in the form of discipleship in whatever I do. And I learned that at a very young age. So when I graduated from high school, when I had a chance to decide where I would go to school and what I would do with my life, I was admitted into Boston College. But my spirit told me, there's more for you. give of yourself. And I am the daughter of a granddaughter of an immigrant, an Irish immigrant. And so I was taught to love our country. And I do. I love this country. And I joined the Army. And I was in during those days in the Army, again, the calling to be Jesus, to be a disciple to Jesus in a very difficult environment, because I'm a combat veteran. So we face our mortality when we're willing to die for our country. And leading young people especially, and other people who may not know Christ, may not know Jesus, but leading them in a righteous way, in a holy way, in a strong way, in a confident way, to be able to do what the Army needed us to do was how I lived. And then when I decided as I got older that I wanted to have a family, I realized I couldn't be a full-time soldier. Why? Because in the gift of marriage, and by the way, I'm married to a beautiful, another very strong, loving Christian, my children are a gift from the Lord. And my responsibility to my family and to my children is to make sure that they know Jesus. And so I took some time, and I really did a part-time work, and I laid down my life to make sure that I could really give my attention to my children. And that was a lot of hard work. Anyone who's a stay-at-home mom knows it's a lot of hard work. But it gave me the consolation of knowing I was living a vocation of motherhood. And in that vocation, and as I was raising my children, I was approached by my husband who said, you know, there's an opportunity for you to lead, to take the leadership skills, the experience you have, and place them before the community to help lead our city. And I decided, I prayed really hard because I was very, you know, committed to my family. And I heard the Lord say, yes, and I'll help you. Step up to the plate and start swinging, and I'll be right there with you. And I said, okay, Lord, and I stepped in to run for a city council office. And I just trusted that if the Lord wanted me to do the work, if the Lord ordained it, he would sustain it. And so that's what I did. I served the city of Marysville. And then similarly, a few years later, I saw that someone was stepping down for state representative, and I began to discern. I discerned a long time. Lord, do you want me to serve there? Do you want me to go to the state house? Do you want me to be your disciple in that space? Because I really knew nothing about it. Nor did I ever have any personal ambition to be a politician. And that's the honest to God truth. I just believed and listened to the call. And, you know, when we try to discern and listen to the call that God has for our lives, sometimes we just don't know. We have to step through, and we look for signs that Jesus places before us. He says, hey, you know, he opens this door, or he closes another door. And so with faith, I said, okay, Lord, I'll step up. I'll step forward. And if the people want me, they'll elect me. But if they don't and I lose, that's okay too, Lord, because I only want to please you. I only want to do your most holy will because I love you, Jesus. I love you. And so that's what I did. I ran for state representative, and I told people not what my political agenda was, because quite frankly, I didn't really have one. I just knew who I am. And so I put on every sign, state, family, freedom. And this was before people even use those words in politics that I was even aware of. I just had an inspiration, literally an inspiration in the middle of the night. faith, family, freedom, faith. Because we live in a country. We live in a wonderful, incredible country that has grants us the right to worship as we choose. That means everyone gets to worship how they choose. Family, because the family is the foundation of our culture. God has ordained a mother and father together, a family, to work together, to live, and to support one another. Not the government. Your family is your is the foundation of our culture. And freedom, because we live in the greatest country in the world where we get to choose. We live freely. That's why I wear a uniform, to defend our freedom. And I thank the Lord that I live in this country because we have those freedoms. Faith, family, freedom, and the freedom to choose Jesus. And so there I went to the State House to take my values, to take my love for the Lord, not in any particular religion, please, no. Never would I impugn my religious beliefs on someone else. No, rather, to be salt for the earth, to be light for the world, light. And so I enter into the service of my community, of my district, and my state, not for me, but for the people that have voted for me, who trusted me to do that. And I have to say, I thank God for two things, for his love, for his wisdom, for his guidance, and for the personal courage that he gives to me through all that combat training, through all my soldier training, to live with light, with the hope that he brings, with the willingness to be his disciple, and I kneel, I fall on my knees with this, and with humility to know for whom I serve. And that sort of just tells you the whole reason why I've come to Jesus, why how I've come to know the Lord, but also why I do what I do.
Wow.
It's for him.
There's about seven different directions I could go just on some of the things that you said. But the first thing is, you know, I'm you know, you're really fortunate that at such a young age you found your purpose in life and the direction you were to be headed, because we have so many people out there that are, you know, they don't know what the purpose of life is. I mean, you know, to us, we know the purpose of life, why we are even here on this planet, is we are here to bring glory to God. And we are to, yeah. and we bring glory to God by doing, you know, what he wants us to do, following his direction. And there
Amen.
Are so many people that just haven't arrived at that point. So, I mean, I think that's fantastic that at such a young age you were able to see that. Now, when you were saying about, you know, your mission there at the State House, you know, to bring light and to be the salt, Are there other times or times when you feel like you're a lone wolf in the wilderness, or are there a pocket of similar believers that you can work together with?
That's a great question, and yes, indeed, there are good people, you know, wanting to do the work of the Lord there at the State House where I work as well, and I can tell you that we have prayer groups. On Wednesday mornings, we have a prayer group, and it's put together by, believe it or not, this one I'm referring to is put together by and head by the Lieutenant Governor. And he brings in different guests to speak on faith and values. And it's a small group of us, both members of the House and then members of the Senate. We also had another representative who's also a pastor, and he runs a prayer meeting for us usually before the day starts. And so yes, there are others who really want to do the Lord's work. It's not just like in every workspace. We're not out there preaching in the day-to-day work that we're doing, other than you, Pastor. But we're not. We're just trying to be who God called us to be, not to preach, but to live the vocation of and in the to give glory to God. We try to live it, and sometimes, and I'll tell you, because we were talking about Mother Teresa, I'll never forget this. When I met Mother Teresa, and again, I was just 16 years old, it was very overwhelming because I went to her mother home, and there were these sisters, and it was very sparse, and I helped her. We were cleaning floors, and we were feeding those in need, and she looked at me, and Mother Teresa looked at me, and she pointed pointed her finger at me, and she said, "Listen to Mother Lacey. You come all the way over to India to serve the poorest of the poor. And they're right here in your own, they're right at home in your own backyard, in your own family. They're in your workspace. So go home and serve there." And so that, in the state house where there's all kinds of activities and there's people who just don't know Jesus. And there are a lot of people fighting for their ideals and for their values, and a big way, there are people fighting for values and things that a group of us, we just don't agree with.
Right.
This is not Christian. This is not what God would have us do. But we don't get up and say, "This is not, this is not Christian. This is not what God is." We get up and we say, "This is the right thing to do. This is what the good people of Ohio have called us, have voted us in to do." And we ask God to help us and to give us the wisdom and the grace to do it. And so, yes, there are people, there are other people that want to live and be disciples.
Do you feel like the lines are so drawn that, that you just have to approach a situation that this person isn't going to see it my way, and I need to present the best picture I can? Or do you also have at times, do some of the members of the opposition, for lack of a better word, do you have a chance to sit down one-on-one sometimes and maybe make some inroads into that darkness?
I do see that. I absolutely do. And Mother Teresa taught me, too, to smile. Always smile, because you never know how a smile will change the day of someone. You don't know what crosses other people are carrying and what other pain people carry. So even just walking through the state house and, going into committee and out of committee always, with a spirit of love and happy, not in a fake way, but in a loving way and a joyful way, because we Christians have an inner peace. We Christians have an inner joy. So we can bring that by a smile to someone. So we reach out and smile. And it's amazing how a smile can change someone's day. So when I have to deal with someone who doesn't agree with me, I always look at it and think, what would Jesus do? Well, first, I think Jesus would listen. And so when I sit down, I listen to people. I look for ways in which I can find common ground with them, never to compromise those things that are really, really important and meaningful, but to be a good listener. Because I really believe when you listen to other people, not only do you learn, you can find common ground. And when you listen, you disarm people. Because the natural response is to listen back. And you end up really finding a spirit of collaboration and cooperation, which, by and large, is so, so important for a policymaker. Because what we really are and what we really need to be and what I really try to be is a problem solver. We have these problems that we have to face and we need to face. And so when you approach another human being with the willingness to listen and to try to solve a problem, you find that they're more open and receptive when you're kind.
That is so true. Because they're not expecting you to listen or to be kind. They're expecting you to, shoot right back with what they don't agree with. But when you listen, I've had several conversations with atheists, and I always will sit and listen to the atheist. And no matter what they say, they could be quoting the Bible wrong. They could be saying all kinds of things about the Bible that's not true. But I listen. Because there is a reason that they're an atheist. There is a reason why they don't believe or they don't trust the Bible. They don't believe the Bible. And so what I want to do is I want to find out what that reason is, because the only way I can effectively talk to that person about Christianity is if I understand the reason that they have against it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a mistake many of us make, is we don't take enough time to listen to others. We want to make our point right away, and we want to respond to them with our point. But lots of times you just have to sit back and listen and understand them better.
Yes, I agree so much. And what I see too is, I don't know what it is. I do. I think it's evil. But yes. I know that people no longer seem to have boundaries. Like there's no respect. People don't lead with respect.
Right.
They lead with, this is what I want, and I'm going to fight until I get it, and I don't care what you have to say. And that I never know. I mean, as I read the Bible and I pray, I can't imagine that's how Jesus would want us to be,
Yes, exactly.
And I definitely, I just want to make sure listeners know, I know I am so far from perfect. I'm just telling you how I try to live. I'm so far from perfect. But, and I can get angry too, because people are so cruel and they're mean. And they are angry and shouting. And the instant thing I want, my instant response is to get angry back.
Right.
And I want to shout back. When people shout at me, I just want to say, you're wrong,
Mm-hmm.
You're absolutely wrong. No, we don't agree with you. And I don't believe that's true. And that should not, the people I represent are not going to tolerate that, And yet I have to take a deep breath. And I actually find myself invoking the help of the Lord when I get in those situations. And even when I'm not in those situations, I'm praying, when I know I'm going to get in those situations, Lord, I pray you'll help me.
Right.
That you'll stop me from doing and acting in those ways, knowing fully how imperfect I am, and I'm still going to do it, and I'm going to ask him for his forgiveness over and over again when I do. But I just believe if I can, persistently live like that way, that we can make breakthroughs. That we can break through, and we find, we make one soul at a time. It's one experience at a time. It's not all at once. It's not like all of a sudden I walk into a room and, a lightning bolt comes, like a lightning bolt hit Elijah, and the room lights aglow and everybody's, kumbaya-ing. It just never happens that way. So it's a gentle persistent, prayerful life. And it can be done in whatever vocation, not just certainly. I think it's even more, I'm going to be honest, Pastor, I think it's even more incredibly important in the public life that I have. Because public service and politics in general has gotten so ugly. And but I want to bring hope.
Right.
That there are genuine, real people who love the Lord and want to be who God called them to be. And don't misunderstand my kindness, my respectfulness, and my willingness to understand others as weakness. It's not weakness. It's strength. It's strength because I go with the Holy Spirit, and I do not cower out of telling the truth and about doing the things that are really important. Because what I see is we live in a world where people have created false realities. And we've got these constant demands in social media and texting and all these influences that are coming into our lives and our children's lives. And there's these false realities. But the reality is, God is truth.
Right.
Jesus is truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and He is the object of our heart's desire. And He will guide us. And He loves us so much. And He is alive. He is with us.
Amen. So I want to shift gears a little bit here because I want to give you proper credit for something. Not that I'm trying to puff you up or anything like that, but I honestly believe that the people in your district and really the people in the state of Ohio need to know that you were the sponsor of some legislation that I don't know the exact name for it because I didn't do my homework, but I know that you were the driving force behind a bill that combated trafficking.
Yes.
So please fill people in a little bit on your passion for and what you have done fighting human trafficking.
Oh, thank you for asking me that question. Yesterday was Human Trafficking Awareness Day in Ohio. And I created a bill that would actually create Human Trafficking Awareness Day in Ohio, and it's now law. So yesterday was a very special day. Because it was the very first official one that we had. A lot of people may not be aware of it, so I'm so excited to be able to tell you that because human trafficking is right here in Ohio, and it is devastating. It robs people of their dignity. It robs people of their freedom, and it is a crime against humanity. And I am very passionate about finding paths to prevent it. I had an inspiration to do this. I didn't know anything about human trafficking. And about 5 years ago, I just had a really strong inspiration in prayer. And I even challenged the Lord. I said, Lord, are you inviting me to go into the human trafficking? Lord, are you inviting me to go into the heart of that darkness? Because that, I didn't want to know about it. I didn't want to be involved. I wanted to walk away. But no, I felt like the Lord was really placing it on my heart. And that's when I was at the State House, and I said, what can I do? And I was appointed to be part of an anti-human trafficking commission that is part of the Adjutant General's office. And so I'm an active member of that, and I'm part of the subcommittee that looks at legislation to create policy that impacts human trafficking. And ironically, next week I'm about to drop a bill that recognizes that women are victims of human trafficking, and they're victimized. And what happens is they get involved in these crimes, prostitution, solicitation, loitering, in some cases, shoplifting, because they're forced into doing that. They're threatened, because if they don't do what they're told to do, their children are going to be hurt. And so they end up committing a crime. But what my bill would basically say is, if they can prove that they committed the crime as a result of human trafficking, that criminal record will be expunged. It will be expunged. So they won't have that criminal record, which gives them hope and new life to live a life of fullness. And I want that for victims of human trafficking. And then we also have a bill that we're moving around at the State House right now that would essentially punish traffickers with greater penalties. So we're going to be working more to prevent human trafficking in that way. And I'm grateful for the opportunity to just talk on this issue, because the more we have these conversations, the more we work together, the more people are aware, the more we can help. And I put out on my Facebook page yesterday a link to a national website that I think is very, very resourceful. And it also has a hotline for anyone who may see something, may want to report something, or for victims who need support. And so I'm blessed, and I'm convicted, or convinced, or convict. I guess I'm just saying I'm really passionate about this issue.
Do you have that number handy for the hotline?
Oh, shoot. Gosh, I should have it committed to memory. I wish I could Google it real quickly,
okay.
But I'm afraid I'll disconnect you.
No.
I know it's a 188 number. I'm so sorry. I don't have it memorized.
That's okay. And an interesting thing about the human trafficking, we are becoming more and more aware of that issue, but I still think there's a lot of people who think primarily the major danger is somebody's going to snatch their teenager and they're going to become a victim of trafficking. But there are so many other ways that people get trapped in the human trafficking. It's a much, much bigger issue than that.
Yes. I'm so glad you made that point. And we were talking at it. I heard from a really great speaker last night about this. Many people think it's just a snatch and grab situation, but the preponderance of people involved in human trafficking are because someone in their family or someone they knew and know and trust. For instance, they gave an example of a girlfriend who had a boyfriend whose father was a human trafficker. So she got sucked into human trafficking because of the relationship she had with this boyfriend. So it was someone that she knows and trusted initially, and all of a sudden got brought into it. And then, you know, it gets people online get involved with, young people foolishly will put out they call it like sexting. They'll take a picture of their, of their bodies, naked bodies, and they'll put them and send them. And now they use it as blackmail.
Right.
There's just all kinds of things. Blackmail and then trapping them into human trafficking. And there's another whole part of human trafficking people don't talk about often, but it's labor trafficking, where people are sort of indentured servants. So this is a very, very important issue, and one I think Christian listeners would want to know about.
Absolutely. So, we've only got a few minutes left. We're gonna have to have you come back and spend some more time, because there's so many things I wanna cover. But real quickly, we're looking at like 3 minutes. But real quickly, what are you working on that's going to come up in the very near future, or are there some things coming up in the near future that you're kind of got your eye on, because it does affect families and family values and that type of thing?
Oh, yes, that's a great question. Well, I just will say this. I think people who don't know should know that I'm very involved with funding education, and school choice is something that, universal school choice is something that we passed in this General Assembly, and I am very, very proud of that, because what it enables is the ability for a parent to choose the school that will meet the needs of the child and our Christian values. And so if a parent wants to apply for a voucher now to get their child in a Christian school because they want God to be able to be spoken, they now have that option. And it's called Ed Choice. And it's available for everyone to apply for. So I just wanted to put that out there. But as far as things coming up in the near future, there's a couple of things on the Innocence Act, which is designed to protect children from pornography, from the pornography industry. And it would require age verification to get on certain websites. That's in the pipeline. I had a peer that support the bill. It basically restricts, or it looks at preventing children from access to drag shows. So that children aren't exposed to inappropriate behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
We recently, I'm trying to think here. Oh, you know, we recently have tried to support Israel, and we condemn the attacks on Israel. But I would just say stay tuned too, because we are looking at issue two and its effects, the effect of recreational marijuana.
Okay.
And access to it for young people, in particular young children under the age of 21, and it's pretty controversial, and there's a lot of layers to it, and so because you know it was voted in,
yes.
It was voted in by the voters, so we want to be by the electorate. We want to be careful we don't undermine what the electorate wanted, but we want to again make sure we protect children, and of course. I would be remiss if I didn't say yesterday we overrode the veto.
Yes.
To, two things. It addresses protecting women in fair competition for women's sports, and it prevents children from having permanent changes to their bodies, sex changes to their bodies, before the age of 18, and that bill is now going to the Senate. Be considered for the override, and if the Senate votes it out, it then becomes law. That law with those protections will become law. So stay tuned for that too.
That's great. So real quick, I mean like 30 seconds, how can people contact you?
Oh, I try to make myself really accessible. If you're in Marion, you want to come and visit me, I'm there every month. I have what I call in-district hours. I sit at the library, and I talk to people, but you want to reach out to my office at 1-614-466-8147, or you email me at, I'm drawing a blank of my own. Oh, rep86@ohiohouse.gov. It's rep86@ohiohouse.gov. I love to hear from people. I do my best to respond. I love meeting with residents in my in-district days in both Marion and Marysville.
Great.
So, and I love to hear from people. I really love it because I know then that I'm staying connected and I'm doing your will to be your voice, not my own. So please reach out to me with your thoughts, ideas, any follow-up, anything any great ideas you have for future policy. I love that. I want to remind everybody as we wrap up, with God, our state motto is, with God, all things are possible. And I love that. I love that we in Ohio, we have that great motto. Let's stay faithful, stay hopeful, and And I just thank you so much for the opportunity to share today, Pastor.
Well,
thank you.
Well, Tracy, you're welcome. And I thank you so much for, you know, coming on the air with me. And my gosh, we'll do it again. You know, we'll talk later, but we must do this again, because I didn't touch on half the things that I wanted to get to. And I really feel that, you know, people here need to stay up to date on what's happening. And you know, it's great that we have a soldier out there, a fighter in the Lord's army, and that's you, and you're doing the Lord's work. And we thank you for that. We really do. From the bottom of my heart, we thank you for that.
Thank you. Thank you. I rarely get thanked. So from the bottom of my heart, I say, I so appreciate your kindness. Thank you.
So we'll talk again soon. And again, thank you for calling in.
Sounds great. Have a wonderful and blessed rest of your day. Take care.
All right. We'll see you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
And that, folks, was our representative to the Ohio House, Tracy Richardson, and I'm Pastor Craig. I'm out of here. I'll see you next week.
What about mine?
To the original Doctor of Love, Dr. Ruth Westheimer.
This is an important point. Fall in love. What is Dr. Ruth's definition of love?
I don't have a real definition. Everybody has to work out their own. But I would say a part of it would be that you are glad when that person walks into the room where you are. That you have a kind of a fluttering in your heart that person that you really like and appreciate and want to work a relationship with is walking into that room. So it's like a little spark.
Our president, you have met. You've met Donald Trump.
Not only that, there was a very short time, a commercial, where I greeted him because he was the marshal some years ago of the Israeli Day Parade in New York City, where I, of course, participate every year. And there was a commercial that I greeted him. That's true. Not only that, he knows me.
Yes, absolutely.
But I don't get involved in politics.
No, not in politics. But as a human being, what kind of person is he in person?
Next question.
Okie doke. We will go right along. We won't even stop. The tires are squealing away from that one. Is Dr. Ruth in a happy relationship?
Good question. What is your next question, Scott? About my personal life.
We're going to dig right in, Doctor.
Streaming live on the internet at wwgh1071.com. Download the free TuneIn app on any mobile device to listen anywhere in the world. CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage crtmechanicals.com.
Hey everybody, Friday morning we have Over the Fence with Pastor Steve and Scott Spears, and it's a great time where we just bounce ideas and thoughts back and forth on the day and different things going on. I invite you to join in and listen and talk over the air with us. Just call in 383-9944. We would love to hear from you, and we'll hear you on the show.
Over the Back Fence with Pastor Steve Whitaker and Scott Spears every Friday morning here on WGH Talk from 9:15 until 10 a.m. Call in anytime at 740-383-9944.
We all make choices. When it comes to alcohol, kids make choices whether to drink or not.
Bye, Dad.
Bye-bye.
Remember, I'm going to Alex's party tonight and sleeping over.
Hey, have a seat for a second. Remind me about that party again.
Adults make choices whether to talk about it. That's true of parents and every other trusted adult in a kid's life. Kids want to know our expectations when it comes to alcohol and other drugs. They want guidance and honest answers to their questions. and it makes a difference when the message is consistent and part of everyday conversations. So talk with your kids and help lead them on a positive path. Because when you talk,